Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Stefano, co-founder and CEO of Planeto. When it comes to decarbonizing energy and buildings, there's just a lot of focus on installing solar or making buildings smarter. But there's one solution that's overlooked because it's quite invisible: district heating and cooling networks. Those run in the ground, hidden from our day-to-day gazes. And yet they are key to decarbonize entire energy networks. Today we'll learn more about how they work, what the challenges are when it comes to those DHC networks, and how Planeto helps to roll them out faster. Welcome, Stefano.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. As with all my other guests, my first question is always, what's your background? So what's your background, Stefano? Tell me.
I'm Stefano. I'm an Italian energy engineer. I moved to Switzerland in Geneva, where I'm currently, I mean, living and where we founded Planeto for my PhD in energy efficiency in buildings. So I worked on this topic since a while. It's in Geneva during my PhD that I met my co-founder, Jonathan, that is exactly today working with me in Planeto. And yeah, that's a few words about me on the technical.
That's you in a nutshell.
Exactly.
And so I tried to give the overall framework of the topic today, district heating and cooling networks, but maybe then more specifically, what is the problem that you solve with Planeto? Tell us.
When we speak of energy consumption and emission in city, we look, I mean, buildings are a big part of it. In general, buildings are responsible for more than 30% of the emission worldwide. And the biggest part of this emission is related to their consumption of heating and cooling. So when we have a shower, when we use our radiator, because most of this energy is coming still from oil and gas. So fossil fuel that we are burning, more than 80% of buildings in Europe are still using oil and gas. This is a big problem because most of the policy and the attention we had in the last years were focused on electricity. So we talk a lot about photovoltaic, wind mm-hmm. energy, electric cars, but all mm-hmm. this is touching only one of the problem. With Planeto, we focus on decarbonizing heating and cooling. And this can be done with district heating and cooling networks. That is what you presented at the beginning. So these are thermal networks that, in the same way that you can imagine our buildings are connected when it comes, you know, to electricity, mm-hmm. we're all connected to the grid, internet, we're all connected with the fiber, water, we have all the same. If you think of it, the only thing we are not connected is when we use our air conditioning, that each right. room is independent, and the heating. Each one has own individual boiler in your basement burning gas. With thermal network, we create grid of thermal energy that can connect a energy center that produce clean energy and can deliver this thermal energy directly to your building through, as you were saying before, we don't see it because all this is happening in underground pipes.
Right. And so the idea of district heating and cooling networks per se is not new, right? That has been established quite some time ago. But if I'm correct, the original district heating cooling networks were always sort of used as a byproduct from sort of traditional fossil fuel based energy generation as well, right? So what has happened there that they also become green and sustainable?
Not only, I mean, heating and cool, district heating are very, very, very old technology. I mean, as Italian and Roman, it's something that Roman were doing 2,000 right. years ago, bringing, right. you know, like having their own thermal bath with yep. Geothermal energy that was used for hot water in spa. So the technology itself is very old. In modern times, I've always been used just to basically recycle some industrial heat, so very close to where we have industry. So, for example, in the north of Germany with the steel industry, or in Italy, in Torino, that there were like car manufacturers. So there was always recycling some heat that they say, okay, we produce it rather than trash it. Let's just bring it to some buildings in the area. So that's how these kind of projects have been built in the last maybe 30, 40 years. Now, in the last basically 5 to 6 years, this technology is back to life, because especially with the beginning of the war in Ukraine and the understanding of Europe of how depending we were from Russian gas, this was the first time in which Europe, even at the level of the European Parliament, realized that we needed to do more to be energy independent from that point of view. And thermal network are the only solution that allows you to have clean energy in a city, because it's the only way you can replace oil and gas. And that's why they are now having a big push in terms of subsidies, in terms of policy, in terms of construction. So there is a lot of interest. There are cities that until few years ago, when an energy utility, for example, was building this kind of network, was going to the building, to the owner, begging them, please, can you connect to our network? Right. We are bringing you clean energy, cheap. And people would not do it. Today, completely shift the paradigm, because now are the building owner or the mayor of cities that are asking, please, we are spending a lot of money in gas. We are consuming a lot. We want a solution. What can we do? And district heating and cooling network are is the solution that most of the time is recommended.
Right.
And so now they're receiving a lot more focus and attention.
Okay, so understood the role of district and heating cooling networks. What's your role with Planeta? So what's the challenge that you're solving in that space?
Our role is helping now they create the design and the execution and the construction of this network. Because to come back to the example of internet before, imagine it's quite easy to connect building to internet. It's quite easy to design, because you know that to every apartment you need to deliver a certain amount of terabyte or of speed. You know, that is always the same. Now imagine this when instead it's about the amount of hot water or the amount of heating and cooling that you will use. That's very, very, very difficult, because in your own building, maybe you have certain needs. You have the shower in the morning, someone else is in the night. Your building, you like to be at 20 degree, while someone else at 40, someone else cold, someone else hot. So these plus, then there are all the problems, not only related to how much energy you have to deliver, but how to deliver, because it was very easy to build something in the Roman Empire when you could just make a hole and do whatever you wanted. Today, if you need to close, to find the buildings, to close the street, to put the pipes underground, all these require a lot of planning, a lot of work, and a software today that can support you in all these stages. What we do, what we did, is to develop a software called TESSA, that is the Thermal Energy System Simulation Assistant. That is exactly very, very easy. That is exactly an assistant for the designer in planning, designing and building district heating networks. So you can really, like in Google Maps, you select an area, you can see all the buildings that are in this area, you can have all the information of this building, and very quickly you can generate a network that will allow you to replace the current system that could be oil, gas, or whatever, and will help you to give you cost estimates, how long it's going to take, how much energy you're going to save, how much CO2 you're going to save. And then step by step, you can move from the feasibility study into the actual design, and then finally into the construction and operation of these networks.
Right. And that would leave me wondering, if your solution is the sort of the software assistant to help planners design and operate those district heating cooling networks, that seems like a very obvious solution, right? Like it's very, if the challenge is to plan those networks well, I would assume that software would have already been there to do that, but obviously that was not the case, or at least not a suitable one. So that would leave me with the question, how are those networks then being planned today? Because if you're sort of replacing something that isn't, or you're offering something that isn't there, then how is this being done and implemented today?
Has been done, first of all, we were doing very, very little project compared to what we have to do today. So, and they were done really
Right,
with
there's
a.
just a sheer, like, I think one of the triggers of what you're saying is the sheer volume has increased because of the challenges that you've described
Exactly.
before.
So today the projects were done, or, I mean, yesterday, really with the. Okay, we have this area. It's interesting because we know that there is this industry. So let's go there. We take an engineering team that is hired to make a plan around a certain development. And we say, okay, we have this amount of heating. How much you're doing months of planning using Excel, using on-site inspection to get the data of the consumption, to get the information about the building. Then you were building a scenario, taking weeks of work to say, okay, maybe I want to close this street, close that street. You were going to the mayor, going to the municipality, discuss your plan. They were telling you, no, you can't close this street because we have the school here, so we can't close it, change another one. You were coming back, so it was taking months of planning. And this was possible because you were doing one project. So you could have an energy utility that between the hundreds of projects of oil and gas they were doing the one project of district heating, a bit like the I will not say greenwashing, but still, I mean, it was your pilot project of one thing, a huge project with a lot of
It
cost.
was sort of nice to do on the side.
Exactly. And was not something also you were making almost to make money, but something like, okay, is the only case we have to do. This are in basically 100 years, for example, in Switzerland, but in Europe, we arrived to with this approach to have a share of district heating that is only 8%. 8%. Imagine that there are studies that are saying that for a lot of part of Europe, with all the heat that we are wasting in, you know, server industry, whatever, it would be enough if well managed to cover all the needs we have. So that's of course is theory because then maybe you produce it in one place and you need it in another. So of course you can solve it. But this to give you the understanding of how little we did, only 8%. The target now by 2030, meaning tomorrow, is this 8% to become 20%. So whatever we've done in the last 100 years, we have to do two times more in the next five. And then the objective that we have in Europe is almost 40 to 50% of district heating and cooling network by 2050. So this gives you the understanding of how much this is changing and how much this is also opening this market to players that before were not involved in this sector. It's exactly as you could do with the photovoltaic panel. At the beginning of photovoltaic panel were like huge projects managed by energy utility, making this huge field. Today, you have like you can go even on IKEA, you have like an easy tool to buy a panel, put it on your roof, and make it on your own. And that's a bit what is happening on the field, and that's what we want our software to help doing. So to make more accessible and more easier the planning and construction to I mean the final objective is of course facilitating the construction. So thanks to a software to be able to build more of these networks.
More and faster, I would assume,
More
because
and
it doesn't.
faster, more and faster, more and faster.
Okay. And so you described in the very beginning that sort of Planetto and Atessa are grounded in your research. Who are you selling your software to? So who is using that? Who's responsible for planning those networks?
energy engineers, energy planners that today are sitting in energy utility offices and engineering consultants. What we want to do is one of the things also in the previous question when you asked me like how these things are done today, these things are done also a bit badly somehow, because for example today we don't have a very easy way to assess a cost of a project much in advance. So then when a municipality is faced with deciding if to continue or not continue a project that could cost anything between 10 and 100 million, of course it's a problem, because how can we make an informed decision if something can cost anything between 10 and 100? And same with like if we are not able to say in advance how much energy we are going to save, how much CO2 we are going to save, this is going to have an impact in then if we decide to continue or not with this project. So we are giving the tools that we develop, as you said before, in the university, many years of research to address these questions very early in the design process. So energy planners can, using our tool and using these years of modeling, of research, of data cleaning, to really deliver more robust project in many, many aspects, very, very basically. For example, if I think of one of the things our clients are using the most is this like climate change, to stay also in the topic of our podcast, you are building infrastructure that have to last 50 years. You can't ignore that the climate is changing somehow. So today you need to provide this kind of net, provide heating and cooling, that's their name, and you can't ignore part of the problem. So we are one of the few software that are able to model also that cooling aspect. Until now, this was simply not done. You were building network that basically were already a bit obsolete in maybe 5-6 years.
Right. Which is a big issue, right? If you dig something or if you put something underground, you don't want to dig up the whole thing in 5 to 10 years again. You want it to be there for the 50 years at least.
And is a bad advertisement for district heating and cooling, because then you will always hear someone, oh, yes, they opened my street in front of my house, and then they did it again after 1 week, and then again after 1 month. So poor planning at the end affects even the perception of the people. And that's crucial when you have a technology that is installed under your house. So if people don't trust it, it is an issue, obviously.
Very true. How would you then describe or summarize the USPs of your software? So I heard sort of the future proofing aspect with, you know, putting or being able to simulate systems that will include a change in climate. So sort of what you're building now is fit for a world in 50 years, which obviously also with the tools that planners have been using before, I guess was just not the case. They've always been planning for, I guess, today or even yesterday, but never for tomorrow and then in tomorrow plus 50 years. So that's one thing. The speed, I guess, is the second one. And the third one that I would summarize is just the different data sets, points, bringing it all together. So what you described before, how energy planners worked and how, you know, how utilities ran those projects on the side as, you know, fun side projects. That I guess would have always meant that, you know, planners didn't have the right tools, nor all the information to make the best informed choices. So you bring all of this together to develop a really forward-looking, fast solution. How's my assessment?
Yes, absolutely. No, correct, 100%. It's now to summarize all these different aspects. Exactly, we say that. I mean, one of our USP is this one-stop shop for energy planners. So Exactly, because there are all these modules and all these aspects that you just highlighted. The idea of our software is to pack all these science data, climate modeling, climate change in something easy to use for our clients. So one-stop shop, meaning that we know that there are different phases of the planning. We know that the different phases have different complexity. And you need a tool that can evolve with the time. So we now look at you know, like Canvas and Photoshop, for example. Our tool is for energy engineers, but an energy engineer doesn't need a complex tool at every stage of his work. It's not that because he's an engineer that loves to work in complexity. So we give you something that for each stage in which you are working, you can have a tool that can really facilitate the task you have in that specific phase. And obviously, when we are in a feasibility study, you want to understand cost and length of the pipes and like how many buildings you're going to touch with your renovation. When you are in the design, you want to know the diameter of a valve in the middle of your circuit. You don't need that information too early. You don't need it too late. So this one-stop shop is our idea of like you start and you evolve the software and the project at the same time.
Gotcha. And then coming back to where we started with the research part. So you did all that research, realized there's potential to turn this into a company, so you spun out the company. And then how far have you come since then? How far are you on your journey as a company, as Planeta?
Looking at where we started, we are very far, I feel. So if I look at the past, I feel, yeah, we did a lot. If I look at the future, I feel we did nothing.
I guess that's always like the ambition, the level of ambition and the challenge that you're tackling is so high. So I guess there's still a long way to go. But again, if you look at where you come from, you've already covered some of the way, huh?
Yeah, it's a bit the same feeling I had like around towards the end of my PhD, or like you seem you have done so much. And then when you put it in the bigger scale and the bigger picture, you say, oh, still is a long way. So we today, we started let's say this journey in what was April 22, so a couple of years ago. We just really the idea, we were finishing the university PhD, and we realized, and was actually the time of the beginning of the war in Ukraine, what has been a bit a motivation, but also very frustrating somehow, has been that for years we have been working. I mean, me and Jonathan and Xian, that is the other colleague, PhD, that started Planeta with us. We've been working on this topic. It's 10 years between study, university, work, PhD. And every time we were talking of climate change, CO2 emission, energy consumption, all these has been always like overlooked, even in the policy, in the public opinion, in the media, until the world changed from reducing gas for climate change to reducing gas for energy security and energy independence. So that was something that completely changed the vision of our work and our topic at the eyes of the world, not for us, because we knew it already, how relevant it was. But that somehow was an extra motivation and an extra push to bring that solution and that research. For us, was a bit absurd that we were working on this topic in every day, and then there were like public, at least, I mean, I speak for like the television I was watching in Italy, of like, secrets to save energy, close the window. I say, okay, yes. But,
right.
This kind of television show. And so we thought that one was really the moment to bring that one to the industry. So we started working on different research grants. And you could also see at that point how things changed, because the same competition we did at the beginning, that until a few years before were won by pharma, finance, and crypto and blockchain, in the last years, finally, the our sector, energy, climate, sustainability is taking a bit.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see.
Yeah.
And we started with me and Jonathan and Xian. So we were two co-founders, then we became three, then four, then we moved officially out of the university. We incorporated the company in Geneva in end of 2023. So we have 1 year now. We moved now to a bigger office. So we are incubated in Geneva in a Fongit, that is an incubator, a science incubator in Geneva. And we are now growing our team. We are today between who is in, who is out, remote, hybrid, we are already eight. Last year, we were very surprised also with the first clients and revenue somehow, because even if we were still working a lot on the development of the software, we realized that it was such a high demand from engineers and clients that they were willing to really start using the software, even if it was not perfect. So we did our first real paying customers for more than 120,000 euro in revenues and different grants, different awards. We raised almost 2 million overall since we started until now. So
congrats.
Thank you. So really, yeah, a lot of success, I would say, both on the research and let's say the development, the technical part, and on the business one. So there where we it's a bit where we are today. We are in this phase of growth, but also very important now for us is to keep the focus on the software and product development. There is such a high demand in this moment of projects, of people, that is very, we are getting a lot of requests, for example, for people to ask us to make directly the project to help them doing almost as a consultancy, because there is a lot of demand, not only Switzerland, but all over Europe. And now for us, it's really important, they said, to be able to create value in the software to maximize the value we can bring to the entire chain.
It would almost be easy to do, too easy to do all those consultancy projects, but then you would lose focus on the bigger prize, right? So I guess it's from your perspective, it's really important to keep on developing features and enhancing the software. So instead of becoming the consultancy, being able to provide the software instead, so you can scale up the business.
Exactly, and that's also our not only focus, but also our, before we were speaking of the USP of the software, but that's, I would say, is the USP of Planeto and the team. So we have, I feel, this very unique or rare mix of energy engineers that are also data scientists, that are also software developers, so that we mix that nerd aspect of the coding with the even more nerd part of energy engineering.
It's the best of two nerd worlds, right? It's energy and software. It's like,
exactly.
It doesn't get any better.
Exactly. So that's why our communication is very difficult. But that's where we are unique, I feel, and that's what we want to use to get the maximum value for our clients at the end.
Right. So, and then as we just touched upon this journey from where you came from to where you are now, where do you want to go over the next few years? What's the ambition? Because you just described that market momentum, all that demand all over Europe. So my take would be, capture that momentum, make it beneficial for Planeta's future.
Yeah, absolutely. So next step is a European expansion. So something that in our original, very humble Swiss, probably financials and planning was something happening like in 2026, 2027. Instead, we see that this will happen much earlier. So already now we are working on pilot projects out of Switzerland because we see that there is a demand. So for the next years is developing our SaaS business model in order to be able really to deliver our software as a service online with a license and being a bit less tied to the single project, so to push on the development of the SaaS solution for Switzerland, for Europe. So first country will be Germany and France, so really push on this European development. In growing our team parallel to this, and be really the solution for this kind of study. So when we look where we want to be, it's being a software that is installed, actually not installed because it will be online, but that you have the icon in every computer of engineers' office that are working with district heating. And that it would be their software for planning, design, and operating. So that's where we want to be. We want to have, today we already have the first network designed with Planeto, that is here in Switzerland, on the Lac Léman, in a very nice Lavaux UNESCO heritage village. So it's been designed with our software, and this is something we are very, very proud. And what we want is that in the future, it's exactly more and more networks that are running, that have been built and then are running,
right,
thanks to our solution. This would be very, very cool for us, and to really quantify, you know, the kind of emissions that are being reduced, the impact are huge, because imagine this, we are burning gas in our own house. So it's about air quality, air pollution, not only climate change in a big,
intangible way.
Exactly, is a real improvement for people life in our cities. And that's, that's where we want to go.
Right. And I guess infrastructure is so important, right? This brings us back to the beginning of the recording, where I mentioned that I guess what you do and the impact you deliver is so hard to grasp, because, well, A, it's software, so it's hard to see anyway. But then obviously your software has a real life implication with the district heating and cooling networks, and yet they're underground, right? So you don't see them. It's sort of, it's an invisible thing. And that's different compared to, also you mentioned solar, right? Like if you look at roofs, you see the difference. There's a before and after, so you see someone has put solar on the roofs, so the electricity is cleaner because you have them powered by the sun. And yet I think sort of what you're delivering there is so important, given that it will last for such a long time if done right, you know, future proofed, and has such a tremendous impact. So it's super exciting to see sort of your journey from doing the research to, to where you are today and where you want to go in the future. So fingers crossed that all those plans come true. And that, I guess, leads me to the final question, sort of, because we haven't really touched upon your motivation, why energy in the first place, but I would phrase this even broader to say, what is it that keeps you going? Because you also just described the cycles of planning and implementing, and I would assume that you're targeting quite a slow moving and quite a conservative sector, right? If we stay with the solar example, nowadays it's quite easy, sort of from making a sale to actually the installation, that just takes couple of weeks, right? And there's the right people to implement that, and you see the impact of your work more or less directly. It's similar with EV charging infrastructure. Like, you put a charger out there, you see the actual physical charger, people start using it. The grid collections might be the ones that slow down the whole process, but overall, sort of from idea to implementation, relatively fast. And now with, you know, the area that you're tackling, the time scales are just much longer, and yet the impact that you're delivering is also quite high. So sort of, what is it that keeps you going, that keeps you hopeful on a day-to-day basis?
I would say there are two aspects to this question. One is the motivation of Stefano, let's say, and is my own motivation for working every morning and working on this topic. And that's that I've always been interested by this topic, by sustainability. When I started, actually, when I subscribed, when I started the university in Italy, engineering, I started with environmental engineering by mistake, because then I realized I wanted to do what I wanted to do was not really that, was more energy, because at the time, I already realized that energy was a big aspect of all the environmental issue we had. So I decided to focus on that. So this has been always the topic that I was interested, and that was also the reason for starting Planeto. Today, the attention for my personal motivation a bit changed. It's not only more only the topic, but it's really also what we are building. So today, I would say that the real motivation is the people that are working with me and that we are working for. So when really for the team, we are all together working on this subject, and when we can deliver these things to our customers. So now I'm a bit more focused on, let's say, less the big picture of energy and climate change and sustainability, but I'm really seeing what we are delivering and bringing to our customers and how they are using it for real projects. So that's the real motivation today. And when instead I think at Planeto and what motivates all of us in working on something that, as you said, is so slow and so hard to see changes, it's maybe a bit the I hope maybe the good arrogance to be right on this topic, because
I think that's a
especially
very
in
good way
the
of phrasing it. I
yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
especially in this time in which, it seems that every opinion is equal and you have, Trump statements, and it seems that you can say whatever you think and then this is going to happen. But the reality is that when exactly when a war starts, when you see the reality of the consumption we have, when you see the reality of how much gas there is in the world, when you see the cost, we don't have much solution, we don't have much many alternatives. So these things will happen, and we want to help to make these things happen faster. But to us, there is no discussion that district heating
The facts are
building,
clear.
yeah, for us, we see it. I mean, that's what motivates us to say, okay, you can make whatever policy, whatever subsidies you want, but ultimately, this rate of district heating in Europe, in North, we'll grow. We'll grow because people are asking it, because we started something that cannot be stopped, whatever political claim you try to make.
I think that's a super important argument, super important note to end us on, which is sort of the idea that, there's a whole discussion even about is climate tech dead now, and what's sort of the status of climate tech and so on. But what you described sort of earlier in the podcast and just now again, that there's this market demand, right? There is this underlying desire from people to have your solution, and it's not fueled by subsidies, it's not fueled by sort of whatever incentives there might be. It's fueled by the knowledge that the current system doesn't work anymore and we need to transition to something better. And there are solutions out there that provide just that. And sort of with the market adoption now happening and what you just described, sort of how much momentum there is for companies like you. Even if there's a dip in climate tech adoption, I think solutions like yours that provide value immediately and solve real issues, they'll have an easy time going forward. And this is, I think, what we should focus on and be thankful for. And sort of that fuels my hope that what you just described, it's not been the easiest or most resilient start to the year in terms of geopolitical news.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
then, talking to founders like yourself, I think that's exactly the stuff that keeps me going. To sort of have that inspiration to see, look, whatever other news reporting is out there, this is the stuff that actually matters. People building companies that have impact, that's what I want to focus on. So It's an interesting one that I turned the question to you around and use that for myself. But thank you for that motivation and that those insights. I really
I'm glad.
appreciated that. Thank you so much, Stefano, for your time and all the insights. Really enjoyed the conversation, and then all the best going forward for Planeta. We'll be cheering for you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it was a pleasure.